The exchange between Nomi and Rus in Megillas Rus serves as a basis for some details in Hilchos Geirus and our perspective towards Kabbalas Geirim. Tosfos points out in Yevamos Daf Kuftes Amud Beis that this is a source for the notion of Kabbalas Geirim, and what I want to focus on tonight is what exactly the parameters of whether there is such a mitzvah, what the parameters are regarding Kabbalas Geirim. So Tosfos writes in Yevamos on Daf Kuftes Amud Beis, let's put it up on the screen. The Gemara has ra'acha ra'at tavola mekabel geirim. The Gemara has something negative to say about those who are mekabel geirim. Amari, the hainu hecha shemasino thanlis geir. That's where you're convincing them to be megayir. Or you accept them right away without the requisite due diligence. However, if they are committed and they are persistent in pursuing Geirus, then we should be mekabel them. The Gemara there indicates that Timnah was interested in joining the fold of Bnei Avram, and because the Avos did not accept Timnah because of their skepticism about her motivation, she went and became a Pilegish Talifaz and ended up being the mother or the progenitor of Amalek, which obviously caused many problems to Bnei Yisrael over the generations. So you see from there that there is a imperative to be mekabel geirim when appropriate. V'gam Yeshua kibel racha bezona v'nama v'rus ha'moviyam. That's the pasuk in Rus v'atere ki misametzes. That Nami saw that Rus was persistent and therefore proceeded to be mekabel her as a gioris. So Tosa says that under the proper circumstances, there is an inyan of kabbalas geirim. The Pesukim also indicate the corrective or the balance, and that's what the famous Medrash Ris Rabba tells us. Shavna benosai lechna, Reb Shmuel Omar b'shloshim akamas ksiv kan shavna. Nami says to Ris shavna three times. Keneged shlosha pa'amim shadochim es hager. Corresponding to the three times that you're supposed to push away a prospective ger or gioris. So that is a well-known, I don't want to call it halacha, well-known matter that people commonly refer to, but it's not quoted halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's not quoted in classic poskim, this notion of pushing away three times. It does appear in the Rakech, but aside from that, it does not appear in classic poskim. But the orientation of Dechiyah to some extent of trying to discourage a prospective ger gioris that we do find in the Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara there says, Tana Rabbanan, ger shabal is gai bezman ezef, a ger is best interest in gerus nowadays. Amr lo, mari isa shabasal is gai, why are you doing this? What are you interested in? Yeta yodea, she yisrael bezman ezef, devuyim, dechufim, schufim, turafin, the Assyrian banalein, aren't you well aware that the Jewish people these days are beset by anti-Semitism and oppression and harassment and afflictions? Why would you want to be Jewish? And Omer Yodeani Veina Kadaif, he says, I'm well aware, and Halavaya should be Jewish anyway. Mekablan Osamiyat, we accept him right away. So Kablan Osamiyat doesn't literally necessarily mean you accept him right away without trading him first. But Mekablan Osamiyat on some level that we're prepared to accept such a person. So the Gemara there reflects that there is a certain discouragement that's supposed to be part of the Geirus process, and only when you're able to ascertain that the person really knows what he's getting into, do we encourage them, or do we accept them, do we proceed? So what is the basis of this orientation of Dechia, that you're supposed to push them off, the Shovna, Shovna, Shovna that we have in Ris Rabba, Dechia in this Shaka Ritari that we have in the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Mem Zayin. So Rishonim seem to connect that to the Memer of Reb Chelba. Reb Chelba there has a statement that Kashim Gerim Lisel Kisapachas, that Gerim are like a Sapachas, a form of Saras, And machlokes rishonim, is that something that highlights a deficiency among gerim, or is it because of a certain exalted status that a ger may have that somehow reflects poorly on other born Jews? So Rashi writes, Mem zayin amabez in Yavamas, the Amar Mar Kashim Geli Silka Sapachas, Lashin Sapachas, Sha'ochse Maseim Harishonim. The concern is that they hold on to their original ways, potentially, Velom de Misal Mehem, and other Jews may learn from them, or they may rely on them when it comes to matter of Isser V'Heter and come to an erroneous halachic sock. So because there's a certain tendency, Rashi says, that they may be Osin B'Maseyim HaRishonim, they may go back and revert to certain tendencies that they had before being Jewish, and that could create a negative influence on other Jews. That's why there's a skepticism in the Kashim Geirim K'Sapachas, and that's why there'd be a certain initial orientation to push away and be reluctant to accept a ger. On the other hand, Tosfos there, Kashim Geirim Yisrael K'Sapachas, the first he quotes Rashi elsewhere. So he writes, L'fish ein b'kiyim b'dikduke mitzvah Yisrael medim maseim, that's the Rashi here. And then the Gemara Nida has a statement there as well. And there Rashi says a different technical problem. Mishum to call yourself a raven zelazah. That call yourself a raven zelazah. And you're going to be responsible not only for the Averis of other born Jews, you'll be responsible for the Averis of Gerim. So why add more people to the collective list of responsibility that we could potentially be negatively impacted if they don't properly observe Torah Mitzvahs? The Rashi is bothered. Or Tosfos raises a question here that Rashi himself is bothered by, that's not so clear whether there is arvus for gerim. Maybe gerim aren't bechlal arvus, which would be relevant to yatsa motzi and other halachic matters that are dependent on arvus. But that's not our focus now. And then, that technical reason Rashi rejects arvus as being the reason. And Tosfos writes, "Vadi yishlamer the kashim gerim liyisrael lefishem is arvim behem ve'ein shkina sharel mishpachim mishpachas b'chassos." Because there are so many laven associated with the nasager, and it creates a mechayev responsibility to treat them properly, that's a very high bar to meet, and we're concerned that we're not going to be able to meet that appropriately, and therefore, better to try to push away so that we don't get into that kind of situation where we're going to potentially have exposure to not treating gerim properly and violating onas hager. So the Beis Yosef quotes from the Smag. These are different perspectives on why there'd be a certain orientation of Dechiyah for a ger. The Beis Yosef quotes in the Smag something else. The Smag quotes of Tam Acher Kadesh La Yomer La Acher Mikan Ilwa Yisiyadei Lo Yisim Iskai. We don't want to have buyer's remorse. That if the ger will come after and say, I had no idea what I was getting into, if I realized how difficult things would be, I would never have done this. So that's why we have this whole Shachar Torah and make sure that he's sincere and is well aware of that which he is getting into. Now, does that mean if I would have known it wouldn't be Megayer and somehow that casts aspersions on the validity of the Geiris? Doesn't mean that it would be a good Geiris, but he'd be an Avarian as a Jew? That's not necessarily so clear in the Kavana of the Smag quoted by the Beis Yosef. And the Rambam has an additional perspective that is relevant to why there's this orientation of Dechiyah, or doing due diligence. The Rambam writes at the beginning of Isui Bia, Perek Yudalid, Kesan Mekablin Gerei Atzedek, Kishayavo Echel Eskarim and Akam, V'yivdugu Acharav, V'lo Yimsu Eila. So you have to check after him and make sure that there's no other ulterior motivation that's pushing him to be Megayer. Omer lo Amari Yisra Shabbat Leskayer, the Rama has an additional layer that part of the reluctance is you have to make sure that you do your due diligence and are convinced that the person not being Megayer for ulterior motivation. Now, even if they are Megayer for ulterior motivation, it could be the Geirus would be valid to the Eved anyway. But you want to make sure that things are what they appear to be. So that's another layer as to why there's an orientation of Dechiyah, making sure that the due diligence is done. Should we go upstairs, or? Yeah, okay, we're going to move. Just bear with us for a minute. I'll be right with you. I was going to the classroom. Better go that way.
What's the problem?
They're cleaning up down here, so we're going to go elsewhere. Let me do that. Okay. Get the screen back up. Okay, so in the Hemshech of the Gemara, there in Yevamos on Mem Zayin, the Gemara says, "Umodinos amixas mitzvahs kalos mixas mitzvahs chamuros," that you inform the ger of a smattering of easy mitzvahs and hard mitzvahs, like a shechopeya, and then you talk to him about onshan shel mitzvahs. You should know that when you're not Jewish, you eat chaylev, there are no consequences. You mechal Shabbos, there are no consequences. If you become Jewish, there are major consequences for eating chaylev and for being mechal Shabbos. You tell them about tzchar ve'onesh, that olam haba is letzadikim. So you should be aware of the burden of mitzvahs, the responsibility, and tzchar ve'onesh. So the Bach writes in Reis HaMeches Yeredeya that this Hodas, Kalus, Vachamuros, and the informing the ger about Tzchar Ve'Onesh, etc., is reflective of a certain balance in or a tempering of the Dechia that we're supposed to engage in with the prospective ger. So he writes, the Shema Kavanasa L'Shamayim. Maybe the ger is sincere. The Imlo Hodiyuhu Kalos Tzchar Mitzvos. And if you're not going to tell him that, it's not so difficult, it's not all so difficult, it's not all so bad. There's also a possibility of schar. There are easy mitzvahs. But then gormin le tardo lahatas miderach tova lederach ra. So you're going to push him away inappropriately. Shayari le iskari is going to be afraid to be a guy here. B'chash v'shakar v'lo'on eshmerach miskari. He's going to think that the risk is too great. And in the cost-benefit analysis, why should he get himself into this? He's going to think that all mitzvahs are chamuros and there's an onish for everything and there's no schar. That's why we tell him that there are mitzvahs kalos also. And that's why we tell him that there's also a schar gadol if he does what he's supposed to do. So there is an orientation of dechiyah. At the same time, we don't want to push him away too drastically. We want to allow him to make an informed decision as to what the responsibilities and obligations, but also the potential benefit of being a Jew involves. Interestingly, the Me'iri there, Me'iri writes that even the hodas mitzvahs kalos is too discouraging. Because a non-Jew is not used to being governed on the level of minutia of every movement in his daily life the way Jews are. So if you tell a prospective ger that not only are there the big things like Shabbos, Kashrus, Taharas, Mishpacha, but this is how you tie your shoes in the morning, and this is how you put on your shirt, and this is what you do as soon as you get out of bed, that kind of minutia that governs every element of our lives is not something that a Nachri is used to. And that also may serve to discourage him, that religion is not just a one-day-a-week affair, it's not just a couple ritual acts, but it's something that's all-encompassing and governs every moment of our lives. Okay. But at the same time, despite this orientation of Dechia, where there is a understanding that the prospective Gergios is sincere, then we have to be Makar of them also. So that's the next line of that Ruth Rabbah where we started. First it says, Shovna, 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 Bidoka three times. But then, Amr Yitzchak, Bachutz, Loyal, and Ger, Pasig, and Eov, La'olam, Yehei, Adam, Docha, Bismol, V'yamin, Bismol, V'yamin, and Makar, V'yamin. That as much as you're Docha, Bismol, you have to be Makar, V'yamin. That you have to be makariv when appropriate also. So that's a balance, but when appropriate, you're supposed to work with and bring a serious gayrus candidate forward in the process of a gayrus. And that's what we see from Rus and Naomi, Vatihi, as we started, Vatiraki Misamethas, when Naomi saw that Rus was sincere and committed, then she proceeded with the gayrus. And that's what we learn from the fact that Chazal faulted the Avos for not working with Timna. There's a tshuva of Reb Elia Gutmacher, Yerodea Simon Pei Zayin, in which he notes that where you have a, you could go either way. You're not sure what the motivation of a ger is. Maybe there is ulterior motivation, maybe there isn't. It could go either way. So he thinks it's better, as long as you're convinced that the person is going to be properly mekabel mitzvah, the person is going to be properly observant and know what is involved in leading a firm lifestyle. But if you have a bit of uncertainty, should you be mekabel, should you not be mekabel, you should err on the side of being mekabel, because the consequences of not being mekabel, as we saw from Timna, may be more severe than the consequences of being mekabel a ger who is megayah for ulterior motivations, where lemaisa the person is going to be a frum Jew anyway, even if the initial motivation was insincere. So according to some poskim or some rishonim, this inyan of kabbal's gerim, of working with and accepting gerim, might potentially be subsumed in the mitzvah of avas ager, or potentially in the mitzvah of avas Hashem. There is a comment of the Tosas Arash. Tosas Arash in Perek of Blessed Demila, Shabbos Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. So the Gemara there says that there's a bracha on Milas Gerim. And Tosas Arash writes, Kinitzavinu Leho Vesagerim V'efshel Lios Ger Below Mila. So implicitly, Tosas Arash is bothered. What, Heichan Sivanu? What's this bracha of mitzvah? Where's the mitzvah? Doesn't say that in the Torah anywhere. So he says the tzivu is avas ager. That is a pasuk. We have to misager ki gerim yisameres mitzvayim. So there's a tzivu, an imperative avas ager. So you can't have a ger unless you're megayrim. You can't be megayrim without mila. So the fact that there's an imperative avas ager must mean that there's a mitzvah kabbalas gerim, because you can't have one without the other. So mila is a part of the process of Kabbalas Gerim, is Bechlal, that mitzvah of Avas Ager. There's a Dvar Avram, Chele Bey, Simon Cafe, in which he's essentially bothered by the same problem, and suggests that maybe there's a difference between the mitzvah Kiyumis and a mitzvah Chiyuvis, that there's no mitzvah Chiyuvis of Gerus, of Kabbalas Gerim, but if you have a proper Ger, and you're Malim L'Shem Gerus, so then that might be a mitzvah Kiyumis. But you see from the Tosarash is assuming that there is a mitzvah of Kabbalas Gerim, and that it, he says, based on Avas Ager, and that's, I could say, bracha on Bris Mila. I saw that Rabbi Karlbach in his Chavon Tzelis HaSharon on Rus points out that there's a Chidushei HaRitva in Bav Mitzia as well that seems to fit into this. Ritva Bav Mitzia Daf Tezayin Amud Beis. So there, the Ritva has a comment in terms of a davar shelo bal olam, and whether making a transaction conditional on a gerus is valid. So he says, Afagav dermina ba'alma miyemer demizgat dakik beidina. So the Gemara in Kedushin, in the context of Amanas Shani Ger, says that's not considered biyado, because who's to say Bezin is going to be Megayu? You can't be Megayu on your own. Mikal Malkam Mitzuvin Hain Bezin L'Kabel Gerim. It's still true that there is a tzivoy for Bezin to be Makabel Gerim. So you see there as well, the Ritva noting that there is a tzivoy for Kabbalas Gerim. So in the Tosar Rush, it sounds like it's included in the mitzvah of Avas Ager. Rabbi Yehuda Gershuni in the Sefer Kol Tzafayich, which are Abbezin Zachron Levrach of Schwartz, used to quote. So he quotes the Tashbetz in the Zohar Akiyah. The Zohar Akiyah is the Tashbetz's work on Mitzvot, his Sefer Mitzvot. The Tashbetz in Zohar Akiyah, Os Kav Ches. So that's his, the Zohar Akiyah is a working off the Minyan of Mitzvot of Shlomo Ibn Gaviro. So he asks, why is Kabbalas Gerim not included in his Minyan of Mitzvot? So the Tashbis leaves that as a question. So Rabbi Gershuni and Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlo in his commentary to decide to go and say for mitzvahs, they both suggest that it may be Bechlal, the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, that Avas Gerim is included in Avas Hashem. Based on a Sifrei that the Rambam quotes in his Sefer Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs Asei Gimel, Sifrei writes, V'yavtas Hashem Alakacha, Aveyu Alabrios Gavram Avinu, that you should bring the love of Hashem upon humanity, just as Avram Avinu did. Kinyan Shenemar V'senefesh Hashem Subacharan, Lo, Imiskansim Kobay Olam Libaris Yitush Echad, if all of humanity were to get together and have a big convention and try to create a mosquito from nothing, it wouldn't work. So what does it mean that nefesh asher asu b'charan? It means that Avram Avinu brought them tachas kanaf v'yishkin. It was megayir them. So that's what Yeruchim Fishel Perla suggests, and maybe Kabbalah's game is included in Avas Hashem. That the Sifrei notes that Avram Avinu's b'megayir Nefesh Asher Subacharan, that was subsumed under his Abbas Hashem. So when we're Mekabel Gerim also, that may be an extension of Abbas Hashem. So the question is, you have this balance between Dechia and Kirev, and you have to find the right balance, not to push too far in either direction. But are there circumstances where the balance may be shifted, where maybe there's more of an orientation towards Kirev and less of an orientation towards Dechia. So one of my favorite personalities in the early history of the American rabbinate, which I may have quoted in some context before, is Rabbi Bernardi Lowy. He was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer who came to the United States, I believe, in the 1850s, and was a Rav in Baltimore, and then in New Orleans, and then in Cincinnati. He was a Rav in Baltimore at the beginning of the Civil War, and he gave very stark secessionist rushos so that they liked him in the South, and then they hired him to be the rabbi in New Orleans. And then New Orleans fell to the North pretty early in the Civil War. And by the end of the war, he gave a hesped for Lincoln that was recorded for posterity. So one of the things that he noticed is a lot of his tshuvas and essays were written or collected posthumously by his son in a book called Milchamot Elokim, The Controversial Letters and the Causistic Decisions of Rabbi Bernardi Lowy, a PhD, also had a doctorate from the University of Budapest in philosophy, unlike most of the Chasam Sofer's other Tamidim. So he has, one of the things he has in his collectics of him was that in New Orleans, during the Tkufa there in the Civil War, there's a lot of intermarriage, and a lot of Jewish men were married to non-Jewish women, and they wanted to give their children a bris milah, that they'd have the Mo'olim come and give milas, even though there's no Havim in the world that they're going to ever be Megayer these kids. So Rabbi Lowy protested against this, and he made a takana in New Orleans that the Mo'olim are not allowed to do that. Some listened, some didn't listen. So there's a whole taram in the English papers of the time, the Occident of the Philadelphia and the American Israelite, the English Jewish press. And he corresponded with Gedolim in Europe on this topic, whether he made the right decision. He corresponded with the Sphere Scholarship and Israel Hildesheimer. And there's a back and forth between Israel Hildesheimer and the Sphere Scholarship, which is originally published in Der Israelit, which was the German weekly of the Aguda, but reprinted in the Chuvas of Israel Hildesheimer. So one of the points that they disagree about is there any status to the child of a Jewish father, non-Jewish mother? They discuss Sukkim and Ezra and Perikas that talk about the intermarriage in the time of Ezra Sofer. So there's a reference there to Zer Yisrael. Does Zer Yisrael mean Jewish seed, as in the children of Jewish fathers and non-Jewish mothers, or is Zer Yisrael a reference to the Jewish father himself who was intermarried there? So Rav Zvi Shkalisher thought that Zer Yisrael is a reference to the Jewish seed of a Jewish father and non-Jewish mother, and even though the kid's not halachically Jewish, there's something there that we treat them on some level as within the general orbit, and therefore he thought that there might be justification for giving a milah to these kids, even if it's not in the context of Geirus. And Rabbi Israel Hildesheimer argued that's not the case. Even though as a matter of halacha, we generally have accepted the position of Rabbi Israel Hildesheimer not to be performing milah for kids of non-Jewish mothers if there isn't a Geirus context, but the notion that maybe there's a little bit of a different orientation to the children of Jewish fathers and someone coming in off the street for Geirus, that is true. on some level. That many Batei Din will be mimayed in the Dechi of someone that comes in with a Jewish identity, that has a Jewish father, or maybe had a non-Halachic conversion in the background, where the person identifies as Jewish, even if they're not halachically Jewish, so there may not be that same orientation of Dechia. There is a late tshuva of Rav Moshe, which is printed in one of the posthumous volumes, but had been printed earlier in another journal, which reflects this idea. The Nidon there was a girl who was engaged to a Jewish boy from Brazil. They're both from Brazil, and they realized after they got engaged that she wasn't halachically Jewish, even though she felt herself, she thought that she was Jewish. So Moshe there writes that there's, or in the tshuva there, that says that you shouldn't be dolch of this person. That's not considered to be gay or shem ishus, because the person had that orientation of being Jewish. You have to make sure that all the ingredients are in place for a successful gay, that there be proper kabbalah semisa, the person will be properly observant. But the dechia that we talk about shouldn't exist, but also amida in that kind of a situation of someone that has a strong Jewish identity. So that's the balance that sometimes we have to find between making sure that the person coming to Megayir is sincere and going to have the proper kabbalah semitzvahs and motivations, being docha a little bit to make sure that there is that sincerity, but not being docha too much, and being makariv when appropriate to be makayim the mitzvah of kabbalah skerim, either misham avas Hashem or misham avas ager, or whatever the source for kabbalah skerim may be. As the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Lech Lecha notes that chaviv ager l'tnei Kadosh Baruch Hu min osan ochlusin she'amdu al Har Sinai, that ager is chaviv Kadosh Baruch Hu more than Klai Yisrael that stood at the foot of Har Sinai, because Klai Yisrael at the foot of Har Sinai ilule she'roa kolos v'alapidim v'brakim v'harim roshim kol shofros lo kibulei malchus shemayim, that if not for the fact that the Jews had the standard light show at Mamad Har Sinai, they wouldn't have been mekabel the Torah. This guy coming to Megayir now in 2021, never saw any of that. Or anyone who is dear to Kadosh Baruch Hu, someone who comes in off the street, realizes the truth, wants to be Megayir, who didn't have the kafal in Har Kigigas, and nevertheless becomes a sincere Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. So that's something that at the end of the day, after the Dechia, if a person is sincere, you realize that you're bringing him to that point that the Medrash notes, who is a chaviv to that level, to a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Yishav is Yidantiv.